I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Crank it. I am obsessed with Teddy Swims. I'm obsessed.
That's a nice groove.
Oh my gosh. Sam.
How did we find one Teddy Swims?
Oh my gosh. My kids, like everything else.
Okay. Okay.
So really quick, before I tell you the super exciting Teddy Swims news, pull up Lose Control. Teddy Swims Lose Control. All right. And if you missed this, I think he did this live at the American Music Awards. And it is completely clean. You will swear that this is Chris Stapleton. Crank this up.
Yes, that sounds exactly like Chris Stapleton. Wow.
Listen to these lyrics. My God. They have just announced, that Teddy Swims is coming to Starlight.
What?
My bones. Turn it up. Juno. Y'all now next to me. I'm just telling you right now, if you are late to this party, you're welcome. The tour is, I've tried everything but therapy. That's the name of his tour. Teddy Swims, I've tried everything but therapy tour. He is coming to Starlight in August of 2025. And do not think for one moment I have not already reached out to Starlight and said, I'm going to need to buy very good seats to that show.
Gonna be front row? Like a train show?
Yes. He has a little bit of a look like Jelly Roll.
Okay.
I think he's got some face tattoos. He's a little bit of a bigger guy.
We'll have your set.
But sounds in that tune sounds like Chris Stapleton. There's
back in the day we would have said husky.
Yeah, he's husky. There's other songs that he sings that don't sound just like Chris Stapleton. Like I love The Door is one of his hits. My God. Put him in your rotation. You will be cranking that for the rest of your days because he is just incredible. And we are so lucky to live in a town where we get to see things like this, right?
Yeah, very exciting stuff.
Also very exciting on Monday. It's very rare for this to happen, but it has happened before.
What?
The Kansas City Chiefs the Royals will be playing some ball on Monday.
All eyeballs will be on Kansas City Monday night. So Royals are taking on the Yankees. That'll be game two. So game one is Saturday.
Game one is Saturday in New York.
Game two is Monday in New York. Game three is Wednesday in Kansas City.
Got it.
They do not have a time yet for that. They're still waiting for a couple of other people to win some games and move on.
Yep.
And then they will work out the schedule and figure out what time we're going to be playing on Wednesday in Kansas City. But Monday night, we're going to have the Chiefs. Who are they playing?
Oh, you know.
One of those football
teams.
We've
all kind of switched gears over to baseball just for a second.
Chiefs take on the Saints at home.
Okay.
Monday night, 7:15 kickoff. The Royals are taking on the Yankees. I believe it's a 6:38 first pitch.
Okay.
So all eyes will be on Kansas City sports for at least 3 hours.
So if you want to go to Yankee Stadium and watch game one, the tickets are coming in around $146. With really expensive tickets around $5,000. That is true for game two. When you switch over to game three at Kauffman Stadium, the lowest cost just to get in right now is $186. And honestly, that's not bad. $186 is not bad for a playoff game.
That's very reasonable, yeah.
The top ticket, and I'm guessing this is, you know, behind home plate, right behind Salvi, and you can say hi, is $8,000.
$8,000. That is not reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're Travis and Taylor, probably sit in those seats.
If you have blank you money.
Yeah. So what an exciting time to be here.
The mayor said the city is going to be lit up blue. We had a caller, I think it was last Friday, complaining on Festivus Friday because the entire city was lit up red. And he said, guys, the Royals aren't done yet. The Royals are going to make the playoffs. And he was right. And the mayor,
I love it,
probably didn't listen and hear that, but he is switching the lights over to blue.
All right.
We've all heard of dumb excuses that we've given to people. You know, the old, the dog ate my homework.
Mm-hmm.
What is the dumbest excuse that you've ever given to somebody? Because I had a meeting today at noon here at our fine radio station. And I have the, I carry a Gen Z trait where I'm perpetually late.
Yep.
You have the similar trait.
I try
to, I do my best not to be late to everything, but if there's like a company meeting, I'm the guy that's walking in 5 minutes late.
Yeah, you duck down quietly and you sit in the very back seat.
Well, this time I set the meeting. So I was like, I'm not going to be late because that's just a bad look if I set the meeting. And then I'm late and I leave with 20 minutes to get a 15-minute drive to work. And I get on 435.
I know what you're going to say because it happened to me.
And I don't know what's going on at 435 and Quivira, but the traffic there has been horrible every single day. So I kind of built in some time for that. That's why I left with 5 extra minutes. But today, it was exceptionally bad.
I aborted at Antioch because that's how far the backup was. I just got off on Antioch and I'm like, I don't even care. So I'm just going to take the long way around because it was down to, I think, 2 lanes. I would still be sitting there in that line of traffic,
Sam. I was like, what's going on? So I pass Antioch and I go, I take the exit to 69 Highway. And up in front of me, I see a house on a trailer.
Oh.
A 2-lane wide house, not like a mobile home, not like one of those where, you know, they drop it down and take the wheels off. It ain't a home till you take the wheels off kind of house.
Right.
It was an actual house, an A-frame home on a trailer traveling 35 miles an hour.
I was going to say, how fast does one travel on the highway when you are hauling a house?
Roughly 35 miles an hour. But when you factor in the already bad traffic, plus now there's a house who's taking up 2 lanes and not moving very quickly, I sent the person that I was meeting for the meeting.
I'm behind a house on the highway.
I'm going to be a little bit late. I'm stuck behind a house on the highway.
Okay, that is a great excuse, and you know why? You could not make that up. Even if you wanted to make that up, you could not make that up.
And sure enough, it takes the exit with me. I followed that thing all the way to work. It might as well have pulled off in the parking lot.
Looks like a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom. I've never understood why or under what circumstance it would be appropriate to pick up a house and move it. Because in my mind, structurally, it's not good to do that.
Well, there's companies that make like the prefabs.
Right.
And so they come on a,
like a flatbed or whatever.
Yeah, like a flatbed frame that is structurally built to withhold the turns of driving on a semi-flatbed. But yeah, the ones that they just pick up, like you see it in the country a lot. There will be times where entire country roads are shut down because they wanted to pick up this one farmhouse and move it to this other farm. But you don't see it driving down I-35 very often.
Right. I don't think that that's something you should take a highway for. Yeah. I kind of feel like back roads are your best friend if you're going to move a house.
So even today, when I left with 20 minutes to make a 15-minute drive to not be late, even though I'm always late, I was still late.
All right. Speaking of moving a house, we may have an offer on my house. May. I don't want to
picking it up and moving it?
I don't want to jinx it. We may have an offer on the house. And if we don't, I'm going to stick it on a flatbed and drive it down to the river at a high rate of speed and slam on the brakes. But we may. I will keep you updated this week. Hopefully we've got some good news on that. I could use a Powerball winner right now. Listen to this from the Daily Beast. A judge has thrown out a lawsuit against the world's largest Powerball winner, clearing 31-year-old Edwin Castro to enjoy his big payday without the legal headache. Questions about whether Castro was the rightful winner of the life-changing money began swirling after a 43-year-old filed a lawsuit that claimed the winning ticket was stolen from him.
Now, this is the multi-billion dollar jackpot that was won in Southern California.
Yes. So Castro was forced into court to fight, and a judge has ruled that the 43-year-old who says, no, that's really mine, is a matter for police, not the courts. Quoting here, players are solely responsible for securing their tickets against theft, loss, damage, or destruction. Rivera failed to act on the judge's tentative ruling, so the judge determined this week that the case was dismissed, and Castro is clear to enjoy his many millions in piece. Of course, he took it in the lump sum, $628 million. He's already bought a $4 million mansion in his hometown and, shocking, has hired round-the-clock security.
And I hope that he hired a financial planner, because if you do, you've heard all of the stories about the people who come from no money at all. They win the jackpot, and all of a sudden they are broker than they were before because they spent it like they had it.
Yep. All right. When we get back, we're going to have a conversation about kleptomania, because there is a name in our stack that is very familiar to every single listener we have. He is not the one accused of repeated theft. It is his mother who is accused of repeated theft. And speaking of Powerball, let me just say this. The mother does not need or want for anything based on her son's occupation. So why does she continue, allegedly, to steal? And if you were going to steal, would you not wear someone else's jersey doing it? 913-586-7798.
It's not only the jersey of her son. Yes. It says on the back.
It says her name. My God, what is wrong with you, woman? We are back with much more, and we'll take your calls on that straight ahead. You are listening to Dana and Parks. All right.
For the camera sign, or was that?
I'm speechless. There's dumb, and there is D-U-M. Oh, you are dumb.
Allegedly.
And why? Listen to this from TMZ, and then we'll look up some of the history of this issue with this woman. And the woman's name is not going to be familiar to you, but trust me when I say you will recognize the name of her son. This is from TMZ, but you can find the story anywhere. It has gone viral for all of the wrong reasons. Rashee Rice's mom is accused of theft months before another alleged package heist. Sunday's alleged theft of a neighbor's package, TMZ writes, is not the first time Rashee Rice's mom has been accused of stealing this year. She was actually arrested in the spring over similar allegations. TMZ Sports has learned that Marsha Carney was arrested and hit with a misdemeanor count of theft of property greater than or equal to $100, but less than $750, following claims she took a bunch of household items from a man on March 27th.
40 items, including food, tumblers, laundry products, merchandise.
Do we know where that alleged theft was to have taken place, Sam? Was that also where she lives?
That one does not specify, but I'll see if I can find out more.
All right. So she actually went before a judge in that matter, the theft of the 40 items under $750. Although a court official tells us that case was ultimately dismissed after she, quote, completed some unspecified conditions. Probably one of those conditions is you stop stealing. That's my guess.
Well, yeah, pay for all the things that you took and quit taking more things.
It is unclear if Carney will face further criminal charges over her alleged theft Sunday at an apartment complex in Texas, where a neighbor says they caught her on video stealing two limited edition Chappelle Roan vinyls from their porch. Police say they are investigating that matter. Neither one of them have commented, by the way. Neither Rashee Rice, who's busy and we hope getting better with his injury, or his mom. But Sam and I'm telling you, looked at this video. She walks by what is clearly an apartment door with a Ring doorbell camera on it, looks straight into the camera while wearing a Mama Rice jersey.
A jersey with the number 4 on it. And on
that
the back
Mama
it says
Rice.
Mama Rice. Now, in the video, she allegedly walks past the camera first.
And then she comes back.
Spots the package.
Yes.
And then walks back and nonchalantly with her foot slides the package away from the door.
And the last thing you see is she picks it up. It's in her hand as she walks off.
And then she turns and faces the camera.
Right into the camera. And so here's the deal. The rightful owner says she attempted to resolve the issue with Carney. Like, hey, I've got you on camera taking my stuff. Give me back my records. But she says neither Rice's mom or the leasing office would do it. Like, they're just not giving her stuff back. Okay.
Why?
So TMZ then reached out to law enforcement and they confirm a report has now been filed regarding that theft. Why?
Of course, neither Rice nor his mother have commented
no.
on the allegations.
And look, I understand. I don't know what Rasheed Rice makes every year. I don't know. But it's probably enough to buy his mom a couple of albums bought off of Amazon. And when you steal something from someone's front door in an apartment or otherwise, you don't know what's in that box, Sam. You don't know whether you are stealing adult diapers or underwear or something of value.
Rasheed Rice makes $1.6 million a year.
Okay. And we don't know. Maybe he shares some of that wealth with his mom. Maybe we don't.
And by the way, an album package, when they would ship it to you, would just be a flat envelope, obviously square-shaped. So there was no knowledge of what was inside the package whatsoever, just the fact that it was a package there for the taking.
And I'm looking back. I mean, this is just bizarre. I'm looking back to see if there are any other cases, or are these just two recent theft cases?
From the text line, Mama Rice, not Mama Kelsey. Did we misspeak? It's Mama Rice.
I said Mama Rice.
Okay.
I'm looking at the video. I know what Mama Kelsey looks like.
Very different woman.
Ran into her in Las Vegas and demanded a selfie.
Move along.
I don't know. I was curious, is this kleptomania? Because we don't really know the circumstances under the theft of the 40 items.
We don't.
A few months ago. Why? Why?
Well, 40 items could not have been a one-time heist. That had to have been, well, probably 40 separate occasions, if not at least 35.
And I'm not saying, look, we have talked about murders and horrible things and awful behavior and DUI crashes and like all of the things that come up from time to time on this program. The theft of a couple of records, I realize in the scheme of things, does not rise to the level of, you know, someone needs to go directly to prison. But my question is why?
And we've seen many situations, many stories, especially here in the metro, where there are people that steal just for the sake of stealing.
Or for the sake of turning it around and selling it. And
maybe.
Then that begs the question, why? Your,
right.
your son is a millionaire football player in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
913-586-7798. We got one line open if you want it. We'll take your calls on this straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on back. When people steal, why do they do it? You know, growing up, for me, it was the fear of getting caught, getting in trouble. I don't know, being thrown in handcuffs never really appealed to me as something I would probably handle very well.
You don't like the idea of iron bracelets?
I do wonder if some people just think, I see something there, I'm going to take it. The problem with this case, a lot of problems with this case, is that Rasheed Rice's mother is alleged to have done this right in front of her neighbor's Ring doorbell camera. She even looks into the camera.
Provides a very clear 4K image of her face, so there is no question.
Wearing a Rice jersey that says Mama Rice.
She's also wearing a shirt that's identifying.
It's almost like a gigantic middle finger. Is it not?
There's also a little girl in the video also wearing a Rice jersey.
Let's go to Bob in Kansas City. Hey, Bob.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Go ahead.
Good. Hey, you said it was a package that possibly was shipped or delivered.
It was just out in front of the apartment door, yes.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, if it was delivered by courier or UPS or anybody like that, that's a federal thing now.
Yeah, stealing someone's mail is a federal offense, isn't it?
Right. Even if UPS package, FedEx, all those carriers, if you take something like that, that's federal.
Have you worked for the Postal Service, Bob? Or do you just know it's a federal offense?
I work for the company that has a brown color.
I got you. Hey, thanks for the call. You know what I've got to do, Sam? And I don't know the last time you moved, like really moved. How long did it take you to change over every single bill, notification, like all of it, to change all of your bills over?
Changing the address?
Yes. Because I've filled out the USPS.gov thing, but all that does is forward the mail to your new address. You then have to individually go to every single entity sending you anything.
Do you have to?
I think they keep forwarding it for 60 days, and then maybe after that.
Well, so I don't get any bills in the mail. I actually don't get anything in the mail.
Yeah.
I put a stop mail on all of my mail because I do everything online.
So maybe that's what I'll do is just stop the mail, because my God, I'm in no mood to deal with that. Yeah. No mood. Story here, not looking to make this a topic necessarily, but if you work for a service that handles ATMs, we would maybe entertain one or two calls on this. This is from a news release from the Kansas City Police Department. A victim was working on an ATM near 135th and State Line. You know how I feel about that intersection. When the worker was approached by a man who demanded he open the ATM. And what's 2032 hours, Sam? Please help me on that.
That would be 8:32 p.m.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that. Three additional men approached the ATM worker. One was believed to be armed, made verbal threats toward him. The victim opened the ATM and ran to safety. There is not currently anyone in police custody, and detectives are actively working on identifying the subjects of interest. Investigation's ongoing. Speaking of surveillance camera, there's going to be surveillance footage of this, my guess.
Oh, absolutely. Bunches of different angles. And
are you a little surprised, because by 8:30, it is dark out.
Pitch black.
That anyone would be servicing an ATM at 8:30 at night, and I hate to bang up on 135th State Line again, but I will. Alone servicing an ATM at 135th and State Line, where I'm just going to tell you, the crime at that corridor, police are not unfamiliar.
It's up there, yeah.
With that corridor.
I mean, I'm not surprised that there would be somebody servicing an ATM at 8:32 p.m. If they do have the ability to open it, though, I'm surprised they're doing it alone.
I don't know how that works, but if you said to me, hey, you're going to go out by yourself at 8:30 and you're going to go service one of these machines. No. Why? That is not good.
That's the job.
Business practice, number one. The other thing about that corridor, Sam, is it is a main corridor for the unhoused population.
Yes.
To travel back and forth wherever they are coming or going.
There have been many, many, many anecdotal representations of a van pulling up in front of one of the big box stores there.
Yep.
Certain people getting out to ask for money while other people get in, kind of like a shift change in an operation.
If you work for one of those companies, I'm really curious, is that a solo job? My guess is you are not armed. And when you are servicing an ATM, are you handling the money? Because to me, that's like a Brinks truck function. I don't know that the person servicing the ATM has access to all of the money inside, do they? Let's go to TJ and Lawrence. Hey, TJ.
Hey, I did that job servicing ATMs for 4 years. Probably about 15 years ago, actually in that same area. What kind of questions do you have?
Well, do you have access to the money when you are servicing the machine? Is there a way or not a way for you to physically get inside and there's just stacks of cash sitting there? I don't know.
Okay, so there's an outer part that opens up that it is just for servicing things like in the top, like the screen, the card reader, stuff like that. The actual money part is a built-in safe. You have a magnetic key, but you have to call someone to get a combination if you don't already have one. If you do have one, if you use the combination once, it's not good anymore. When I did it, there was also a way you could type in the combination wrong intentionally to alert someone that you were being forced to open it. But
good.
I don't know if all of them have that.
Good. Because I guess, TJ, my question is, just because you have access to the machine, if there's something wrong with the machine, doesn't mean you have access to the, you know, thousands of dollars that are inside the machine. You probably more likely just have access to the guts of the machine inside to fix it, right?
It depends on whether or not you've issued a combination to the safe. You have to either, before you left to the ATM or call someone, someone separate from you has to issue a one-time combination.
Did you work alone, TJ?
When I went around and filled them, we had other people with us, and you don't go until 8:30 at night. But after hours, if there was something wrong with them, we had a guy that was on call to go around and work on them, and I'm guessing that that was probably more likely what was going on.
And then are there companies that just do this? I mean, don't name the company that you worked for, but it is, are you just in, that is the business of servicing ATMs? Or is it like you can also service, I don't know, like a slot machine or something?
Handle getting in the safe. Those are all going to be the same.
Oh man, TJ, we're losing you. You're breaking up, but thank you. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Denny near 135th and State Line. Hi, Denny.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
Hey, those ATMs never get serviced with just one person alone, and especially not at night. I live, and that's my bank. I live around the corner from there, and there's never just one person there. So it's very odd that there was only one guy, because they usually have someone standing guard watching them as they service the machines or load in the money.
Is the machine servicer, though, this is what I was trying to ask TJ, the same person as the money unloader? And I think the answer is no. I think you have one group or job description, and your job is to go and fix the guts of that machine when it breaks down. And then someone else takes the money in and out, don't they?
There might be like a maintenance man.
Yeah.
That might come service it if it's down for the day. And I'm not sure if the maintenance man is exactly the same guy who's saying, hey, the money's low, let's go put some money in there, or that. Bank might be in charge of that. But I know from being around in that area all the time, there are some vagrants that walk around in that area, as you know, that is our area, and you see them all the time, but it's very rare that someone is operating or maintenance that machine alone.
Yeah. Denny, thank you for the call.
There's always somebody standing guard.
Thank you for the call.
And he's got a point. If they have access to the dollar bills inside that ATM, I cannot imagine a scenario where
there's only one of
them out there by themselves without a way to defend themselves.
And so if this says one victim, not two. And if there were two people working there, there would be two victims, Sam. If you're working in pairs.
Right.
And the gun goes into one victim's face, the other guy that is standing there supervising is still a victim.
Yeah.
And this just says one victim. So that says to me he wouldn't have had access to the money. He wouldn't have had that. He was there.
They didn't get anything.
Fixing the machine.
Working on the screen or whatever.
My God. In front of a surveillance camera, right out of a page, allegedly from Richie Rice's mother.
Did they smile?
I don't know. I guarantee you they have that footage today and they're going over it. Two Kansas City men have been sentenced for stealing and selling more than 100 firearms. They were sentenced in federal court for their roles in stealing more than 100 guns from cars and trucks in Westport.
So we talked about this right after their arrest and their charges. We specifically talked about how they knew which vehicles they were targeting.
How?
Well, I talked about the pickup truck effect. And
yep.
Assuming that there is going to be a firearm in that vehicle, there are a certain number of the population that drive around with guns at all times. And when you go into an entertainment district like Westport, you're not going to leave your gun at home.
So you think
you're going to leave it in your car,
based on some stereotypes that I will not repeat, but you all know what I'm going to, you know what I'm thinking. You think based on some stereotypes.
Now, it's not just pickup trucks. There are other vehicles that become the target of this as well. But
like what would you say?
They're probably not targeting a Honda Civic. They're not going after the Prius, you know? Now, that Challenger and that Dodge Ram 1500, there's a pretty good chance there might be a gun in there.
I don't know. I know people who drive trucks that don't roam around with guns in their trucks, leaving them in a place like, I don't know, Westport.
Well, you know they drive trucks. You don't know if they have a gun. They probably do.
They are 25 and 27 years old. Raycon Petaway and Roy Rushing. The 25-year-old got 11 years and 8 months good, while Roy Rushing, 27, got 9 years and 2 months. Both sentences are to be served consecutively to their other convictions. Great, there's other convictions. They were selling the guns, by the way, on social media. One of them was caught with 2 stolen handguns at the time of his arrest. Yeah, they want them to pay $1,500 in restitution. Good luck with that.
Hey, guys, go to KMBZ.com right now. We are just over 2 weeks away from the Dana and Parks Cornhole Tournament coming back. This year, we are partnering with KC Pet Project. We didn't do it for last year for some reason, but Tossin' for Tails is coming up on October 19th at Serve at 91st and Metcalf from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We are allowing 100 teams. Spots are filling up fast, so go ahead and sign up before they fill up. Teams of 2, $50 a team. All proceeds go to KC Pet Project. You can get spectator passes for $10 online or at the door. I'll be there. Dana will be there. Scott will be there. Everything's going to be run by the Midwest Cornhole League. Go ahead and sign up, KMBZ.com.
We will see you there. We're back with much more straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. Whew. What is the update on Rashee Rice? I can't believe we were just talking about him most of the hour, his mother.
The update is not an update, but it is an update. We still have zero information on his injury. There is a story in the Stack today about how experts, and you know, experts who have nothing to do with the actual diagnosis of the injury, but experts that are just weighing in from a 10,000-foot view are saying that they don't believe it's anything dramatic. However, from Adam Schefter seconds ago on Twitter, Rashee Rice is officially on the injured reserve list, meaning he is out for minimum 4 games. Now, we all saw this coming. We expected him to be out at least 6 to 8 weeks after seeing the way the injury played out on the field. So it's not surprising at all that he's been put on IR.
Do we get to call somebody else up in his stead?
Yes. That means that there is a spot open on the 53-man roster. And there are rumors going around about a former chief who happens to be ridiculously fast and really, really good, who used to wear the number 10, who now plays in Miami, potentially being traded
back.
And that gentleman, who goes by the name of Tyreek Hill, tweeted this morning saying, "Woke up to trade news. That's exciting." Now, with Tyreek Hill, that means absolutely nothing because he has said in many interviews that he likes to stir the pot. And so it could just be him stirring the pot.
He's not available to leave them and come here, though, is he?
He is if he wants to.
Oh, all right.
Money talks.
Okay, let's switch to the Royals really quick because we're so excited that they are still in.
Baseball in October.
What does $200 worth of Taco Bell look like? Well, we're going to tell you.
A bad night in the bathroom? What are we looking for here?
And some of the boys in blue spent some time in the bathroom.
Did they spend $200 on Taco Bell?
Sam.
That is not in their diet.
It is natural for some fans to put professional athletes on a pedestal, but it's important to know that they are just like you and me. Case in point, the Kansas City Royals. After an evening of celebratory imbibing on Wednesday following the wild card series win over the Orioles, apparently a case of the munchies soon followed. The Royals were still in Baltimore, so they couldn't just go home and eat. Instead, Vinny, or someone close to him, placed an order for Taco Bell. Uber Eats delivered $200 worth of food, and we have the breakdown. Are you ready? 4 chicken quesadillas, 2 Crunchwrap Supremes,
love me a Crunchwrap Supreme.
2 Cinnabon Delight 12-packs.
Okay.
2 beefy 5-layer burritos, 16 beef soft tacos, 4 nacho cheese Dorito Locos tacos, 12 beef crunch tacos, 2 large seasoned fries, and 2 sides of nacho cheese sauce.
That is not enough for an entire baseball
team. Pasquantino shared a photo of the food delivery, which was likely at the team hotel. on Instagram. It is unclear how many players the order was for, but it appears they were joined by others, including significant others, for the meal. And he captioned this, "You ever seen $200 worth of Taco Bell? Here's a sneak peek."
From the text line, $200 at Taco Bell equals the boys in poo. I bet it wasn't their first choice for food that night, but it was a solid number two.
Very funny. Very funny. Very funny. Yes. Hoping that they take better care of themselves before.
That's right.
Yeah.
They do have a couple of days off. They don't play again until Saturday.
They're going to need the couple of days off, Sam. Yeah. They're in the bathroom.
To recover. Absolutely.
When we get back, I am excited about this interview, Sam, that we tried to line up yesterday, and there was a lot going on yesterday. We could not get this done yesterday. There are a couple of new studies, and we're just going to talk about one of them for early childhood development. One of them is linking tablet use to anger outbursts in young children. We're going to talk about that. The other one is a curious study about the number of young children who are nearsighted. And I have
33%.
33%. And I constantly have to ask, is that where you can see up close or cannot see up close?
That is when you can see up close.
Nearsighted means you cannot see far away.
That is correct. You are sighted for the nearness.
Very confusing.
You are nearsighted.
33%. When did this start and why did it start? And does it go back to the tablet use that is called... Scientists are like, we have angry, outbursting children right now who are also nearsighted.
We're going to talk to an expert, a pediatric ophthalmologist, coming up.
913-586-7798 if you want to text in questions over the break. We are back with much more. Dan Weinbaum with the news straight ahead. You are listening to Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.